a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Tell us when we're ready.
We're live.
Okay, well, it's exciting to be here at the first of these press conferences, and the session obviously is just in its normal, relatively slow-starting position. We're just now having our first committee hearings. The committee that probably has been most active in the early stages is the Appropriations Committee, which always has a huge volume of work to get through, and this year has a particularly important role to play as budget issues will clearly be the dominant factor of the session. I think that on the Republican side, we've been working hard in the House and Senate Republican Leadership Group and with our caucuses to come together on a common set of goals for this upcoming session. We're in the final process of reaching a consensus on that and anticipate having a press conference tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in the Capitol Rotunda to go through what we see as the critical issues facing the session. Again, I think clearly budgetary concerns will be the focus of this session and of our party's concerns legislatively. There certainly is, I think, a very strong sense in the legislature that as you look at the budget deficits for the 2011 budget, which we're working on this year, and more importantly, the 2012 budget, which will be the responsibility of the 2011 legislature and the new governor, that this really is going to take a two-year effort to be able to deal with the fiscal 2012 budget in a realistic fashion. The governor has projected a deficit in the $110 million range for the 2011 legislature to deal with, and that is of such a size that unless we make some significant steps this year that will have a positive impact of reducing that deficit in 2012, this legislature will not have done its job. And we really do need to have this two-year perspective when we look at budgetary issues this year. And that's probably the first time I can remember. I mean, this is my eighth year in the legislature. I had a couple years as chief of staff for the governor. This is the first time I've really had a lot of legislators really say we need to look at this over a two-year period. We have to broaden our perspective. I think that's a very positive and healthy sign, and it shows the seriousness and significance of the deficit problem that we're facing this year. In terms of non-monetary issues, I think it's a little early to tell what's going to be the hot buttons for this session. I certainly do not anticipate that there will be any material new tax proposals that are going to be successful in terms of general fund revenue raising. The governor has proposed some changes in some of the sales tax exemptions, particularly relating to large projects. I think the legislature will take a very serious look on those. But we're going to have a debate on gas taxes. I think certainly that will be a difficult bill to pass. But I'm sure that's an issue that we'll have a thorough debate in committee or on the floor, depending upon what kind of progress those gas tax bills get. But in terms of really giving you a laundry list of issues that are important to our caucus, I don't think we're in a position to do that at this point, simply because the early nature of the session and the fact that in many respects the bills that are in right now are all the agency type of bills, and most of the members of the legislature are still in the process of gathering co-sponsor signatures and so forth. So just in the process itself, we're in the very early stages, and most of the discussion, I would have to say in my own case, almost all the discussion has been on budget type issues rather than individual bills. I think you're going to see a lot more activity next week on the individual bill front as people will start to get their bills actually introduced, and certainly need to be very deeply in the drafting and co-sponsor circulation activity by the end of next week. But with that, I'll turn it over to Bob Fain.
Thank you, Senator, and I will be brief because I don't want to be redundant. We're fortunate this year in the Republican caucus that we've had a great deal of cooperation and agreement between the House and Senate. I can echo almost everything Senator Knutson has outlined as being the views that we have achieved as a strong unified group in the House Republican caucus. Especially the fact that we're going to be looking, and we already have been looking. I think we started looking at this budget as a two-year process quite some time ago. The governor obviously can only offer us a one-year budget. We can only approve a one-year budget, but I think we're all looking towards the huge hole that is out there looming in the FY12 budget. The governor's taken a good first step as far as controlling unnecessary spending. We hope to take that even further to try and take giant strides, hopefully, towards balancing our budget in fiscal year 12, which will be the budget we look at a year from now. As Senator Knutson said, it would be not only irresponsible, but probably would be a waste of time for me to start laying out a list of the issues that we're most concerned about in spending this year, because the appropriations process has just begun. I believe yesterday was their first agency hearing. We, of course, need to let that process work its way through. We're encouraging all the legislators in our caucuses to come with ideas of areas that they think we can save money on, and we're giving each of them a thorough and honest review. Sometimes if we're not on appropriations, you don't understand that we might spend a dollar here and get $10 in matching funds. So we need to try and dig those things out and make sure that we're not cutting off our nose to spite our face. Many things will change in the next 8 weeks. We're just getting the ball rolling. This week has been primarily used to set up the future. We're getting a lot of the organizational things done. Senator Knutson and I have been working very well in putting a plan together. Not only have I noticed cooperation amongst our caucuses, it sounds like for once both parties seem to be working towards the same goal. They're suddenly talking about cutting spending. I'm sometimes amused at how everyone gets conservative in an election year. A year ago, Senator Knutson and I were chastised on the House floor when we passed our budget about the fact that we didn't spend more money and that we put too much in savings. Now, a few months later, that seems to have sunk in that maybe that wasn't a bad idea after all. So we're glad the minority party is also starting to see things our way, and we look forward to their help in passing a good budget that will make a giant step into balancing next year's budget. I guess anything else that I would have is redundant to what Senator Knutson has said, so I will end my comments and answer any questions that you may have.
I was finished listening to the Democrats flying out their plan. One of the things that they're calling for is a 3% cap on growth each year, perhaps not for this year, but for future years. And they're going to be planning introducing that as legislation. Do you think that has a chance of passing and getting Republican support this year?
I would be skeptical that that would be likely to pass. To me, it certainly is, does not qualify as a good idea. There's certainly parts of state government that are basically uncontrollable. Medicaid is the elephant in the room, as it were. The governor has done a nice job, I think, in laying out that we're facing $50 million of increased state expenditure on Medicaid this year alone. And that's under the program that has the enhanced FMAP that was part of the or enhanced federal portion of Medicaid under the stimulus package. So when that stimulus goes away, I don't remember, that was most of the money that went to state government came as partially as education support and partially as Medicaid support. So we know we're going to have a $70 million decline in our revenue that is going to have to be replaced either through the natural growth of our economy, which is everybody's first choice to get back the 8,000 people that currently don't have, that have lost their jobs in the last 12 months, get those people back working, hopefully get our revenues growing already. But I think these artificial barriers really don't make sense. They point us to the that this is the limits that we use on schools, but that's not quite true because we've typically done some special provisions for schools. Particularly in 2007, we reworked the state aid formula to, in effect, increase the number of students or artificial students by having special provisions for declining and growing enrollment schools, change from average daily membership to fall enrollment. We did a number of changes, all of which had the impact of providing more money for schools. They talk about cities and counties, but it isn't really a 3% inflation for cities and counties because they get to also grow their property tax base by the new construction that comes into their county or city, and which is also a very significant number. And so I just don't think we can see the future clearly enough to say that, yes, 3% is the magic number for South Dakota. I think that's, to me, that's trying to put yourself in a straitjacket without knowing whether you're going to need your arms to swim to shore. And so I certainly don't support that, and I would be surprised if it would have much legs.
Well, I would agree with Senator Knudsen's outlook. You know, it's I believe that the people who vote for us to come to Pierre vote for us because they want us to be reasonable and they want us to be responsible, and they've given us a bit of a trust in their votes to come out and do what's best for South Dakota. If you place artificial limits on what you can and can't do with the state budget, I ask where would we be this year if that law would have passed a couple of years ago? It amazes me that in a state the size of South Dakota, we have now moved to a point where we have 110,000 citizens of South Dakota on Medicaid. Had we been forced to keep our health and human services budget at 3% growth, some of those people simply would not be getting taken care of. One of the primary responsibilities of government is taking care of people who can't take care of themselves, and it would have been a tremendous burden that would have had to been shared by areas such as education. If we suddenly had to take care of 110,000 folks on Medicaid, and also, by the way, take care of nearly 8,000 folks who are now drawing unemployment checks, on top of that, 36% more folks in South Dakota this year are on food stamps than they were just a year ago. How would we have ever handled that without taking some serious looks at cutting things like education, or doing things that would have hindered our economic development and growth in South Dakota? I firmly believe that we need to be careful in our cuts this year to make sure they don't impact economic development in a negative way. I have a strong opinion that the only true recovery economically for South Dakota will be through new economic development and growth. It will never be through additional spending and stimulus packages. We need to grow within to find true economic recovery. And if we bite the hand that feeds us for economic development, we're only hindering our growth long-term and harming ourselves short-term. Plus, I think it would be a very scary year to look at limiting 3% or whatever they're proposing for growth, because we're already hearing things out of Washington, especially dealing with health care legislation, that are threatening states with huge new unfunded mandates that will be required to fund at some point in time. So I'd ask, where would that come from, other than new taxes, which I don't think anyone wants to hear about at this point in time, and I know we don't.
In general, how are you going to propose to cut the budget this year and next year?
Well, I think, there certainly has been a lot of concern among Republican legislators and other and Democratic legislators as well about the size of the deficit and the need, again, in this two-year look to reduce the governor's proposed $32 million deficit, in my own mind, ideally down to zero deficit. I think that that's going to come primarily through specific programmatic cuts. The Appropriations Committee, as Representative Fain has mentioned, is just starting its work. They're taking a very close look at each agency's priorities and their budget support those. Are their priorities still things that are critically important to South Dakota? So I think most of it is going to come through programmatic cuts, but there's a lot of discussion and dispute, quite frankly, controversy about whether across-the-board cuts are an effective way to deal with budget reduction. I personally think there is a role for those probably at the end of the process. I do think it is, in most cases, a reasonable request of management to say, look, last year your agency received $100,000 of funding. You're going to have to get by with $98,000 this year. I think that's the kind of challenge that good management can deal with and can work around and survive under. So I think that in my own mind there is a role for that. I know there's certainly legislators who think that is something that should be done only as a last resort, and I do think the first effort will be to be looking at particular programs, and it would be premature at this point to try and say, well, it's going to be program A and program B and so forth, because we really do need to give the Appropriations Committee the opportunity to work through these budgets and to see what they have on their after they've gone through these, to see where they believe cost cutting can be done on a programmatic basis.
I would pretty much echo those sentiments. I guess I feel that if we don't go through the appropriations process first and give our legislators and appropriators an opportunity to look at the programmatic cuts, we are in fact abdicating our responsibility to the taxpayers by just jumping to across-the-board cuts. I feel that one of our most important jobs as legislators is to prioritize the budget and the spending, and if we start at a point like this and say make across-the-board cuts, that's taking the easy way out. Sometimes early in the session when I hear that sort of language used, I myself think I'm hearing someone who really doesn't have any specific ideas, or someone who wants to find someone else to do their dirty work, and that's not why we're here. I think we need to look at specific cuts, and we need to be prepared, because sometimes with specific cuts, there are specific losses in services. I, I'm afraid that we have no other route than finding some areas where people will notice a few less services than they're used to seeing from their state government. Our goal is to try and find cuts that will impact the fewest people in the least amount. However, it's pretty hard to look at getting a zero deficit for this year and even a greater deficit for next year without having some reductions in spending that will change the way that services are delivered by the state. So I don't want to sugarcoat it either. This is not going to be an easy process. However, I feel that one of the silver linings of a recession is that it gives you the opportunity to downsize government. You don't get that all the time. If you don't take a look at government, and if you aren't sometimes forced into taking a look at government spending, government, by its own methods, just seems to do nothing other than grow. New programs and new people seem to find new responsibilities that are hard to remove in a normal operating year. So we have to take our opportunity now with the tough economy to downsize government because this opportunity doesn't always present itself to us.
Everyone's talking now about the worst-case scenario, about making cuts to make sure that if the economy doesn't improve, that we don't have a $100 million deficit this year. What about in a good scenario, say the federal aid that the governor talked about comes and the economy improves, and suddenly instead of a $100 million deficit, we're looking at surpluses this year and next year. Where should that money go?
Well, I, for one, I'm not even paying the least bit of attention to what the second recession bill that they're discussing says. I would do my best to not make that a part of this year's budget whatsoever because, number one, it is one-time money, and our problem is ongoing expenses. It's like taking money out of your savings account to make your utilities payment. It runs out pretty fast, and if you don't position yourself to do that for the long haul, you're just asking for further problems down the road. It will have no impact on my thinking this year. A year from now, if the money truly exists and is in play, we'll certainly have to take a look at it then. If we're looking at $100 million in cuts and some of those cuts are too severe, obviously we could see what's available to us. We'd look at all options, I'm sure, a year from now. But my thinking is today, that's not a card that's in the game.
Yeah, I think the whole theory behind the stimulus package of last year, and if there is new stimulus, is really just to help state governments buy time until their economies pick back up. And we're having this very curious situation where, again, some economic indicators, particularly those that measure gross domestic product, show that the U.S. economy is growing, but if you're out looking for a job, that doesn't seem to be the case. This has been to date pretty much of a jobless recovery. It appears that the U.S. economy is still losing jobs rather than gaining jobs. And it's very hard for me to believe that we really have come out of this recession until employment comes back. That really is the key. And I think South Dakota's future is all about getting people back to work. Again, there is, absent some very tragic healthcare developments in somebody's life, there can't be anything worse than losing your job. I mean, it just is one of those impacts that cascades through your family, through your community, and we've even seen certainly a statewide impact as our sales tax dollars have gone down. And so until a consumer demand comes back, I don't think we're going to feel comfortable. I don't think we're going to be in the happy situation of what are we going to do with some surpluses. And I think that the process we're going through, as Representative Fain said, is probably a very healthy one of taking a very hard look under dire circumstances at all of state government, seeing where there are places that the services are no longer needed or aren't being delivered efficiently. And if we ever get to that happy day where we have surpluses, maybe that will give us an an opportunity to look at new initiatives and perhaps devote more of our resources to economic growth. There are a lot of good things that South Dakota has going for it in the economic development area. We have a very good workforce, a highly productive workforce. We've got a very good business climate, almost universally ranked number one. We are the lowest state in taxes. We have a very pro-business attitude at both state and local government. All those things are very important to business. So I think there is reason for optimism, but we can't let optimism impact our need to make very sound, difficult judgments today.
Going back to that 3% cap that Democrats have proposed, that those types of caps have been wildly popular with Republicans in other states. Why is South Dakota different?
I guess I can't speak to why they've been wildly popular in other states or whether that's true or not. I know there have been discussions of those in other, in connection with other states. I'm really not familiar with who has really been promoting those. But again, I think the key is for the legislature to make responsible decisions. I think this legislature feels very strongly about the need to avoid deficit spending and to make serious steps at trying to bring that looming fiscal year 2012 deficit down to a manageable proportion. And again, the other thing that I think this legislature will be very good at is understanding that one-time money is not a solution. I mean, if we go out, the governor is proposing to cover about 10 or 12 million, I don't remember the exact number, in the current fiscal year 2010 that we're in the middle of, is trying to cover some deficits there by going out and finding segregated accounts in particular agencies. The Petroleum Release Fund, I think, is one of those, and use those funds to cover the fiscal 2010 deficit. There's nothing wrong with that, except you need to understand that doesn't really reduce the problem we face with fiscal 2011, and certainly doesn't help us in the fiscal 2012. So I think this year, as we deal with this fiscal 2011 budget, we've got to make real reductions that carry on through fiscal 2012 and beyond, or else, again, that deficit that we're going to face for the 2011 legislature and the new governor is just going to overwhelm us.
I guess the my general beliefs when you're discussing the issue, I've kind of always tried to use the 3R approach to legislating. I always ask myself, is this responsible, is this reasonable, and is this realistic? And when I look at the suggestion of capping at 3%, some years it would be, but other years it wouldn't be at all. I can't comment on what the other states have done because I'm not educated on their plans. However, I would remind you that in our legislature and in any other legislature across the nation, a lifetime can last 1 year. We can pass a bill or pass any nuance in our state laws this year, but that doesn't mean a year from now the next legislature won't come back and undo that. So I'm guessing that in many of those states, rather than that cap being law, it's maybe nothing more than some nice political rhetoric that makes for a nice soundbite, but probably isn't real functional. And I wonder how long some of those laws will last in states that have already passed that. So we'll just have to wait and see, I guess. Thank you, folks. We'd hate to step on the governor's time. I know he's waiting for us, unless there was anything else.
Final question at all?
Thank you.
Thank you.